Okay, so we'll get started. Brishus my father, Brishus my grandfather, my father-in-law, Rabbi Schechter, Brishus everyone who's here listening. I wanted to spend this slot we have, 45 minutes, an hour. Marv's going to be at 9, so we'll figure it out. Discussing every week on Monday nights, different inyanim, different halachas that come out from the parsha. Our parshios at this time of year don't necessarily have halacha l'maisa written all over them, but each story in the Torah, so we can pick out certain points and find the main characters, and see how they are or are not keeping the halacha, and sort of discuss real dinim based on more out there stories, and see how we can apply them to our lives. The topic tonight, as most of you heard in the announcements, is a little exotic. Killer Kohanim, reckless drivers. We'll try to see how we connect those two pretty soon. But the basic idea is to start in our parsha and move forward talking about the halacha. So if you look at the source sheets, my wife requested source sheets for tonight. So we have them here. Shalom bias tip number one. So if you look at source number one, the end of Parshas Balak this past week, and we're going to move into the Parshas Pinchas, which is this coming week. The end of Parshas Balak, we read about the story that Bilam was not able to curse the Jews. In the end, they found the plot that the Jews should be kind of struck with a plague because they were involved in illicit relations with the Moabi women. And towards the end of the Parsha, so the two main characters, Zimri and Cosby, are involved in these illicit relations in a public, blatant manner. And in order to stop this, so Pinchas, a big tzaddik, he was a kanai, a zealot person, he jumped up and he decided to kill Zimri and Cosby to stop the plague and to stop the Chilul Hashem. So the psukim read in source number one. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen, vayakam mitoch ha'eda, vayikach ronch v'yado. He took a spear in his hand. Vayavo acha ish Yisrael el ha'kuba, vayitkor es shneim es ish Yisrael ves ha'isha, el kabasa, vateyatzer ha'magifa me'al b'nei Yisrael. So he stabbed both of them, Zimri and Cosby, killing them and ending the plague. And Parshas Pinchas begins right after that story ends. Parshas Pinchas begins as follows in the second pasuk that's printed here in source number one. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen, heshev es chamasi, Hashem says, Pinchas the son of Elazar, Pinchas the son of Elazar ben Aaron a kohen. We'll discuss maybe why all those names are listed at a later point. Heshev es chamasi, he made me feel a little bit better, I'm less angry now, bekano es kinasi, for taking a zealous stand where I wanted him to, betocham, not letting the Jews sin, velo kilisi es b'nei Yisrael bekinasi, even though I was angry. So Pinchas jumped the gun, he killed the sinners, and now I won't destroy B'nai Yisrael. Lachin, Amar, Hineni nasein lo as brisi shalom, I give him my bris of shalom. V'haisa lo lezaru achar of bris kahunas olam, tachas asher kinei lelokav v'yechaper al B'nai Yisrael. He is given the bris kahuna, the bris of being a kohen, a priest, for the rest of his life, and not only will he be a priest, will he be a kohen, but his children after him will also follow in his footsteps and be kohanim, serving the Beis HaMikdash and do everything else that a kohen does. That's what Hashem promises Pinchas for doing this great mitzvah of killing Zimri and Cosby. The Zohar comments, starting with the Zohar, it's a halacha shir. The Zohar comments that what these psukim are telling us is that Pinchas almost lost his right to duchen and do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. He almost lost his right to be a kohen. But now Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to promise you that even though you don't necessarily deserve it, you're going to continue to be a kohen, you're going to be able to duchen, and you're going to be able to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question we want to deal with tonight is, firstly, why wouldn't he have been allowed to duchen? Why wouldn't he have been allowed to do the avodah? What was wrong with what he did? He did a mitzvah, so why would he be exempted and taken away, and in fact, puzzle to be a kohen anymore? So the answer starts here in a Gemara in Lamed Beis and Beis, but the truth is, the answer starts in a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Aleph. The pasuk reads as follows, Uvefariskem kapechem alim einay mikem, when you try to raise your hands towards me, B'nai Yisrael, so I will turn away from you. I won't look at you. Gam ki sarbu svila. Even if you keep saying a lot of tefila, a lot of davening, in any shomea, I won't listen. Yedechem damim malayu. Because your hands are filled with blood. Says the Gemara in Brachos and Lamed Beis and Beis, what this pasuk is a reference to is the following din. If you look, it's underlined on the source sheet in source number two. Kol kohen shaharigas anefesh. Any kohen who murders, any kohen who kills an individual, lo yisa es kapav. He can no longer duchen, he can no longer bench the Birkas Kohanim, he can't get up from the front of the shul and give the bracha of Nesios Kapayim. Now, that seemingly answers our question. Pinchas killed someone, so maybe that's why he wouldn't puzzle to duchen. Does this include other things? This psul that you're not allowed to duchen anymore, does that mean also the other things that a kohen does? A kohen does avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, many avodos. So if he kills, is he now puzzle to do the avodos? So the Tosfos Yontif quotes in the Mishnah Bechoros, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin, He quotes that the Mishnah over there says a Kohen Shaharag is included in the list of people who can't do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Seemingly, that's a simple answer to our question, but the plot thickens because the Tosfos Yontem himself quotes the Rambam in Tefillah Nesias Kapayim Tess Vav Gimel. The Rambam there quotes the din from our Gemara that a Kohen Shaharag cannot do the Birchas Kohanim, he can't Duchen any longer, but he says nothing about doing the Avodah. And in fact, this problem is exacerbated, I guess, by the Tosfos in Yevamos and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, who also makes the same chiluk and says a Kohen can do the Avodah still if he's killed, he just can't raise his hands and Duchen and do Birchas Kohanim. This is a big question because it seems to be against the Mishnah. We won't talk about that question right now. For our purposes, we'll assume that a Kohen is only possible to Duchen, only possible to do Birchas Kohanim once he has killed. Okay. So now we understand why Pinchas would have been pasul, why he would no longer have been able to do Berachas Kohanim. But the question goes further. So the Zohar said he wouldn't have been able to duchen, but then Hashem says you can duchen. You are allowed to. So what gave him that heter? Why was Pinchas now allowed to duchen? Why was he given the right, even though he should have been pasul for having killed Zimri and Cosby, to go back and do Berachas Kohanim? So I want to offer tonight three explanations, three answers to that question, how Pinchas was able to return to the Duchen. In that context, I want to discuss some Halacha L'maisa cases, and after that, we'll try to understand the din a little bit better and discuss some more Halacha L'maisa cases, and then free food. No free food. There's no free food. Okay, sorry about that. So we'll start with the first answer I'd like to offer as follows. It starts, I think I put on the source sheet, in Or Zeruah. It's in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, that's in Chelek Beis, Simen Taf Yud Beis. The Or Zeruah says as follows. He says, the din in the Gemara in Brachos, that says a Kohen who has killed can no longer duchen, that applies to a very specific case. It applies to the case of a Kohen who kills b'mefursam, b'ragil, b'tadir. What he means is that basically a Kohen who kills once, he's not possible to duchen. A Kohen who's a murderer, someone who kills more than once, or is famous for having killed, someone who kills in a brutal fashion, so that person would be possible to duchen, he would no longer be allowed to duchen. But anyone else, someone who kills once, maybe by accident, something like that, so he would be kosher, he would still be allowed to duchen. Now, seemingly that's going to be lead straight into our answer for Pinchas. Pinchas was not a murderer, he murdered, but he wasn't a murderer, he was just being a kanai, being a zealot, helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saving the Jewish people by killing one time, but that shouldn't necessarily passel him to the Duchen, and that would seemingly be the simple answer to our question. Now, this din of the Or Zeruah, so it's not Paskin Halacha L'maisa in Shulchan Aruch, but it does come out Halacha L'maisa in different areas. The following case, and this is where we get to reckless drivers for a little bit, the following case is discussed by the Poskim. Let's say a Kohen is driving along on whatever, street? Okay. I was going to say Central Avenue, but that's better. Because you really can't go 90 on Central Avenue. So Cohen's driving along on I-95? Right. And as he's driving, so Nebuch Rechmano Litzlan, he gets into a car accident, he kills another driver, maybe he kills a pedestrian, whatever it may be. I don't know why he's walking across I-95, the pedestrian, but he kills someone. So now he's a Kohen Shaharag, seemingly. He killed an individual. So is this Kohen, this driver, who is just negligent in this accident, is he allowed to duchen, or is he possible now to do Nesias Kapayim? That's the question. Rav Avadya Yosef in his Yechav Adas, Chelek Hei Simen Tes Zayin, so he deals with that very question. Did I quote it? Yes, in 3a. It's on the bottom of the right side of 3a. So it's just the question is quoted over there. So Rav Avadya deals with this Shaila. Now he quotes our Or Zeruah. He quotes that idea that if you're not the regular killer, so you're not possible to duchen. But he explains even further. There are two types of car accidents. There are some car accidents where Nebuch, both sides were not negligent. There was an accident. Pshuto kimashmo, total accident. No one is at fault. And Rachmana Litzan, someone died. And that's the result. So that's going to be a machlokas achronim if that Kohen can go back to duchen. We're not going to talk about that right now. But there's a second type of car accident. There's the guy who's going 90 on Central Avenue. This guy is paying no attention to the rules. He's running red lights. He's running stop signs. He's going up on the sidewalk. Totally reckless driver. Totally negligent. In that case, what's the halacha? Can he go back and duchen? So says Rav Avadya something unbelievable. He quotes a Shailas HaTshuvos of the Rush. It's in Klal Kuf Aleph in Sim. What do they go? Os. Hey over there. So the Rush says as follows. Let's say a guy is driving around on a horse. Interesting. We'll call that a car for now. And he's driving around recklessly, speeding in Rishus HaRabim, going back and forth, not really paying much attention to the rules of the road. And Nebuch, in the course of riding around on his horse, so he kills a pedestrian on the side. So what's the din? So the Rush says, the guy's a rodeif, the guy's a murderer, the guy's he's a mazik biadayim. He didn't do any grumma, it wasn't indirect. He was so negligent, he was so irresponsible, that he's totally held accountable for this. And in dine mamonos, in terms of paying back for having done that damage, or in dine nefashos, in terms of having killed someone, he'd be held totally accountable, he'd be totally guilty of having killed or caused damage in such a scenario. The Ravaji goes on to quote Radvaz. The Radvaz says a similar thing, that if a guy is holding a knife in his hand and he goes running around in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim a little wild, a little recklessly, and he ends up killing someone, so he's also kerodef kemazik biadayim. Says Ravaja, our cars are nothing more than big weapons. You're driving a loaded gun when you're driving a car. I always knew that, which is why I hate driving. But you're driving a loaded weapon when you're driving a car. And so if you go ahead and don't pay attention to the rules, so you're not just a negligent person who, okay, nevach, you're a shogeg. No, you're mamash a horeg biadayim. That's what Rav Avadja calls you. You're someone who killed. You're a murderer, straight up. Truto k'mashmo. So according to that, says Rav Avadja, such a person would not be allowed to duchen anymore if he was a kohen. If he got into such a reckless accident that it was totally his responsibility, so he would no longer be allowed to duchen. Now this halacha, that Rav Avadja has a chiddush, that he'd be called a rodef if he was such a reckless driver, it doesn't only apply to our case of duchening. There is a section of halacha called mesira. Basic definition of mesira goes as follows. Well, we have a way of dealing with our system of rules. We have a Jewish court system. And so we're meant to take our dinim, our cases of argument, to the Beis Din, the Jewish Beis Din. What we're not supposed to do, says the Gemara, we're not supposed to tell on our fellow Jew to the secular government to have them do their din, do their judgment against our Jewish people. Now, first we have to just make sure that everyone notices this. So this was written in the Gemara a long, long time ago. The way governments worked back then was that they just worked however they wanted. They were corrupt and pretty much anti-Semitic all around. So if you reported your neighbor for playing his music too loud on July 4th, they'd put him in jail and kill him. Like, nothing matched up with the crime that you did. And so back then, it was totally, totally out of bounds, totally usher to maser, to give over a Jew to the secular government, to let them just do with him as they may. It's still usher. There's still an iser mesira. You're still not allowed to tell on your friend in any scenario. But there are cases, of course, where you are allowed to tell on your friend. We'll discuss one right now. But just realize that the American government is very just, we assume. And just kidding, it's very just. And we assume that we trust the American government, at least to some extent, so the halachas have changed at least a little bit since the times of the Gemara. But there still is an Isser Mesira. Now, when do we matir that Isser Mesira? When are we allowed to give over our friends, our Jewish friends, to the government? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishvat, Simin Shinai and Ches, I think it's in Sif Yud Beis, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara in Bava Kama on Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says that someone who's a rodef, someone who's chasing after someone else to kill him, someone who's a danger, a threat to society, that person you can always give over to the government. You could always send him away with the local police, and you never have to worry about an issue of Mesira, an issue of ratting him out. Now, who's a rodef? So, based on what we're saying, so maybe a reckless driver is a rodef also. Is that a big chiddush? Does that make any sense? Rav Avadja said that he's chasing around trying to kill people because he's driving recklessly. So in fact, Rav Moshe Sternbach was asked this question. It's found in Tshuvas on Hagos, Chelek Aleph, Simen Tuf Tuf Nun. And in that tshuva, Rav Sternbach says, yeah, if you have a friend who drives totally recklessly, doesn't pay attention to the rules whatsoever, so he's considered a road thief. He's considered someone who is responsible for people's lives. He's taking everyone in the streets' lives into his hands. He's a danger to society. And such a person you can maser on, such a person you could tell the government, look, this guy's driving like an animal, please take him away. In fact, Sternbach quotes an interesting story. Apparently, someone came to the Stipler Gaon one time, and this is a firm individual, and he said to the Stipler, I need a bracha. So the Stipler said, what do you need a bracha for? So the guy said, I was driving over the speed limit, and I ran a couple stop signs, and I got pulled over, and I got a hefty ticket, and like, I'm in yeshiva, so I can't afford the ticket. I need a bracha that I should be putter, that the government should let me go, and I shouldn't have to pay the ticket. And the Stipler looked at him like he was crazy, and he said, you're a meshuga. You drive like that, you deserve a ticket, and you deserve worse than that. And he let him go, and he didn't give him any bracha whatsoever. In fact, Dayan Yitzchak Weiss, in his Shalos Tshuvos Minchas Yitzchak, in the Chel Ches, Simen Kuf Mem Ches, so he quotes that not only would you be able to master to give over your friend if he was a reckless, wild driver, but even someone who does something as simple, it's popular in other countries, something as simple as parking on a sidewalk, maybe that would allow you to give that person over to the government. Why? That's not so dangerous. So says Dayan Weiss, of course that doesn't seem so dangerous at first glance, but if someone's parking on a sidewalk, that means the pedestrians have to walk somewhere else. And if the pedestrians have to walk somewhere else, they're going to have to go into the street. So this guy is basically causing the pedestrians to walk in the middle of the street. If anyone gets hurt, it's his responsibility. So he's like a road thief. He's like someone who's totally irresponsible, totally negligent, and held accountable for his actions. You can pass him over to the police and have him go to jail. I'm not a postik. I'm just telling you what the postik say. Okay. So that was our first answer. Why is Pinchas allowed to go back to the Duchen? Maybe because he wasn't such a murderer. He just murdered once. It wasn't that big of a deal. But that or Zeruah that we quoted, so that's not quoted in the halacha as we started. And so we'll skip to the next answer and offer a different pshat as to why Pinchas was allowed to return to the Duchin, even though he had killed and should have been pasul. The Hagos Maimini, a commentary on the Rambam on the bottom, in his first comment in Hilchos Tfila Unesias Kapayim, Tes Vav Gimel, so he says the following heter. He says that a... Did I put this on the sheet? Yes, 3a on the left side. So he says a Kohen who kills is pasul l'duchin. But a Kohen who kills when he's trying to do a mitzvah is not pasul l'duchin. Let's give an example. We'll give exactly when the Hagos Maimon gives, because it's on the page. He says, let's say you have a Kohen who's a Mohel. Kohen who does Bris Mila. So Nebuch, one time, he does a Bris Mila. And, okay, based on certain scenarios, he did the Bris. It didn't go so well. And Rahman Atzlan, it should never happen. Lo aleinu, but the baby passes away. So he just killed. And he's a Kohen, and he wants to duchen, you know, now this coming Shal Shragalim. So can he duchen? So it says the Hagos Maimon, yeah, he could duchen. And the reason he could duchen is because he wasn't trying to kill. Even it wasn't even an action of trying to kill. He was trying to do a mitzvah. He was trying to do a bris mila. Okay, Nebuch. Given the circumstances, the baby ended up dying, which is a horrible tragedy, but it's not blood on his hands. This is not his fault. He was trying to do a mitzvah, so he's totally kosher, totally allowed to go ahead and duchen on the next holiday. Where does this come up, halacha l'maisa? So, seemingly as follows. The government in Israel has a draft. The draft drafts, you know, without discretion, and it drafts Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So even a Kohen could be in the army. Okay, so if a Kohen, that's a discussion in of itself. There's a Rambam that seems like a Kohen can't go to the army. There's other places that also seem like a Kohen can't go to the army. We're not discussing that right now. But in our state, so the Kohanim, in our state of being in Israel, so the Kohanim are allowed to go to the army and do, in fact, serve in the army. So what happens if a Kohen is a soldier in the army and he kills one of the enemy agents. He kills an Arab in Sahal. He kills an Arab. So now he has murdered. Okay, he's a Kohen Shaharag. So is he allowed to go ahead and duchen? In Israel, they duchen every day. So is he allowed to go ahead and duchen tomorrow? So what do you think? Good. So it should be tali on whether what's going on in Israel right now is considered a Melchemes Mitzvah. If the Hagos Maimon says that you're allowed to duchen after you've killed to try to do a mitzvah, so then, well, is the war in Israel a mitzvah? So without getting too political, Moriv Rabbi of Shechter Shlita is fond of saying that ever since 1948, it has been one long Milchemes Mitzvah. The attacks on Israel have been blatantly anti-Semitic and anti-Zionistic, and they have not yielded. And there has been no break in that violence. And so even from that first day in 1948 until this very day, we've been in one long Milchama that's a Mitzvah. The truth is, even if you didn't agree, which we probably do, even if you didn't agree with that, it wouldn't matter. In this scenario, we should say that this Kohen, this soldier, is doing a big mitzvah. Rav Vajik points this out as well. The Rambam, in the beginning of Perek Hay in Hilchos Malachim, so he points out that any war in which we're defending ourselves against enemies who are trying to annihilate us, so that's considered a mitzvah. This Kohen is defending all of his Jewish friends. He's defending the entire Jewish nation. And in doing so, even if you have a political opinion that goes against what Rav Shechter just said, so even if you have a political opinion that differs from that, but it doesn't matter. The Kohen right now, in defending himself and in defending the Jewish nation, is obviously doing a mitzvah. And so, says Rav Avadja, in Yechav Adas, Chelek Beis, Simen Yudalid, he says that, in fact, the Kohen, who is a soldier in Sahal, who killed the Arab enemy, is now allowed to go ahead and duchen the next day in Shul. Totally mutter. What's interesting, in fact, you would think that was simple. What's interesting is that Rav Soloveitchik actually disagreed. Rav Soloveitchik, it's quoted in Nefesh HaRav on page Kuf Lamed Beis by Moriv Rabbi of Shechter Shlita. He quotes the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim. We know David HaMelech prepared most of the preparations for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. He set the foundations, he dug the holes in the ground to get it started, but in fact he didn't finish the project, he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash himself, his son did, Shlomo did. In fact, we attribute a lot of credit to David HaMelech. We say on Sukkot, we say, HaRachamon Yakim Lanu, as Sukkot David HaNofelos, which is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, so we do call the Beis HaMikdash under David's name, but he didn't actually finish the building. Why didn't he finish the building? He was entitled to. So the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim explain that Dam La Rov Shafachta. You, David, you deserve to build a Beis HaMikdash. You're a big enough tzaddik, but you were a warrior. You killed too many individuals, and so you're no longer allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash. We're taking that job away from you. Says the Rav, what do you think? David HaMelech was killing people illegally? No, David HaMelech was fighting wars on behalf of the Jewish nation. He was trying to expand our power, trying to expand our resources. He was expanding the land of Eretz Yisrael. He was fighting Milchemes Mitzvah. He was always doing mitzvahs when he was fighting. So why would that make him now disqualified to build the Beis HaMikdash? How does that make any sense? So says the Rav, even if you're trying to do a mitzvah, even if you kill when you're trying to do a good thing, you're still going to have be considered that you have blood on your hands. And so for David, that meant he couldn't build a base of Mikdash. And for a Kohen in Sahal, that would mean that even though he did a mitzvah by killing this soldier of the enemy force, he would still no longer be allowed to duchen, still no longer allowed to be part of Birchas Kohanim. That's a big chiddush. Rav Avadji actually quotes those psukim in Divrei Yamim, and he says, look at the Radak. The Radak on those psukim in Divrei Yamim points out that David wasn't held accountable for killing Plishtim or killing other enemies. David was held accountable that perhaps there were innocent bystanders when he was fighting a war against whatever, let's call it the Plishtim. So he killed a lot of Plishtim, but he also probably killed some innocent people who were standing on his sides. So he wasn't punished for that. He was trying to do a good thing. But the blood was still on his hands. He still was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And so that's what Rav Avadji says. A Kohen, he's doing a total mitzvah, and he's killing a totally, someone who deserves to be killed, the Arab enemy. Of course he deserves to be killed, so he won't be held accountable, and he would be allowed to duchen afterwards. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Yerodea, in Beis Kufnun Ches, so he discusses not only the Israeli army, what about the American army? Let's say at a time of war, the American army decides to have a draft. And a Kohen, a priest, gets drafted into the army, and now he's forced to kill someone in battle. So is he allowed to go back in Duchen? Is he allowed to do Berchas Kohanim? So, according to what Rav Avadji said, it doesn't really take us that far. This isn't necessarily a Dvar Mitzvah, so maybe he shouldn't be allowed to Duchen. Rav Moshe says, even in this case, he'd be allowed to Duchen, because he's an Ones. He's totally forced. He didn't want to go to the army. He didn't want to kill this individual. The American government had a rule that he had to go to the army. He was an Ones. He was forced to do so. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down Lahalacha, that a Kohen who was forced into killing, even if it wasn't a Dvar Mitzvah, would still be allowed to go back in Duchen the next, Yontif in Shul. Fine, so that's in terms of war. In terms of our Indian, so Pinchas was clearly doing a mitzvah. He was clearly defending Kvod Hashem, clearly saving the Jewish people from a Magefa, from a plague. And so even though he killed once, even though he did this act of murder, but it was considered a Dvar Mitzvah, and according to the Haggadah Maimonides, he would be allowed to go back in Duchen once again. The third answer that we'll give to explain why Pinchas was allowed to go Duchen is pretty interesting itself. The Kedushas HaLevi, as well as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, we quoted the Or HaChaim HaKadosh here in 3b. So they talk about the following pasuk in our parsha this coming week, 3b on the right side. B'shem Ish Yisrael Hamuka Asher Huka, Es Hamidyanes Zimri Ben Salo, Nasi Beis Av L'Shemoni. So these two people, Zimri and Kazbi, so Zimri is called the Muka Asher Huka. He is the, I guess, the hit one who was hit. So both these Mefarshim, the Kedushas Levi, as well as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, point out, well, that's a double Lashon over there. That's like a doubling up on the phrases. Why do we say Huka Shemuka, the hit one who was hit? So the Or HaChaim spells it out beautifully. He explains, Sheharishan b'chayim kruyim mesim. Rishayim, people who sin in their lives, they're already considered dead. That's a Maimer in Chazal. They're already considered as if they're dead. They're dead men walking. Says the Or HaChaim an amazing thing, and the Kedushas Levi says a similar thing. He's just not on Bar Ilan, that's why he's not on the sheet. But the Or HaChaim says an amazing thing. He says, when Zimri and Cosby sinned, when Zimri went out into public and had illicit relations in front of everyone, this great, amazing Chil Hashem, a little bit of him died. His neshama, his Jewish soul, so that left him. Because when you sin that blatantly, when you sin that lahachis, that in spite of Ribono Shalom and his Torah, so you lose your life, so to speak, before you're even dead. And so, says the Or HaChaim, Zimri was a dead man walking. And when Pinchas went ahead and killed him, he didn't do much. He killed him, he took away his physical life, but in a way, Zimri was already dead. And so if that's true, maybe that's the answer. Pinchas was allowed to return to the Duchen, because he didn't really kill anyone. He killed Zimri? Yes, true, he killed Zimri, but Zimri was a total sinner who had already lost his life. He wasn't considered a full Jew. He was blatantly over on Isurim in public, and so it was totally not considered a murder to have killed him. This idea that someone who blatantly sins, lahachis, in spite of the Ribono Sholem, that he has different dinim, he's not considered a full Jew, so that comes into play in other halachas as well. We won't talk about too many of them so that we don't get too political here. But just two quick ones. The Chafetz Chaim quotes in a couple of places that a mumar, someone who's an apostate, lahachis, who in spite of the Ribono Shalom and to spite the Ribono Shalom, he sins more than once, such a person you could actually talk Lashon Hara about, because they're no longer considered a full-time Jew, and so you'd be allowed to discuss things of Lashon Hara about them. Not only that, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Chavav, and Tosus makes this clear on Chavav and Beis over there, seems to imply, and Tos says it explicitly, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, that a person who's a mumer lahachis, an apostate, someone who violates sins constantly, so you're allowed to take ribbis from him. You're allowed to serve him, you're allowed to lend him money and take interest back on it. That's a good way. So you're allowed to take interest back on it because he's not really a Jew. The Isser doesn't really apply to him anymore. So what did we just do? Did we just give license to everyone here to talk Lashon Hara or take ribbis or kill anyone they deem to be a little less firm than them? Yes. No, we didn't. Two answers to why we didn't. The Gemara in multiple places says, most famously in Gittin on Daf Yud, says there's an idea of Dina de Malchusa Dina, that the rules of the society are rules that we have to abide by. That if the rules in New York say that you shouldn't speed, so you shouldn't speed, even though it's not written in the Torah anywhere. But we follow the rules of the government that make sense, that apply to us. Fine. So obviously, even if you found a way to find someone to be less from than you and thought that he totally deserved to be murdered, so I think that's still usher in society. You're not allowed to murder anyone. And although most of the rules in society are crumbling, that one still exists. So in this scenario, so you wouldn't be allowed to just go ahead and murder whoever you so choose, Dina de Malchusa Dina would hold you back. But the second answer as to why you can't go around killing or talking Lashon Hara or taking ribbis from anyone you so please, I think is found in the following story about the Friedrich Rebbe, the Lubavitch Rebbe before the previous Rebbe. No, he's called the Friedrich Rebbe because he's the previous Rebbe, but he's the father-in-law of the Lubavitch Rebbe with which we're familiar. Everyone who knows anything about Chabad knows that they're probably the biggest, maybe one of the most successful Kiruv organizations in the world, all across America and the rest of the world. They're constantly finding Jews who are totally off the derech and bringing them back to mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs. So they asked the Friedrich Rebbe, they said, Rebbe, you're a frum Jew and you abide by Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Chaf Vav Amud Beis that there are certain people who are moridin velo ma'alin. There are certain people that we look for their demise. We look to cause them to go downwards, and we don't try to help them. We don't try to save them. We don't try to bring them back. And some of those people, one of the people in that list is a mumar lahachis, someone who's this person who's blatantly always sinning, has total disregard for the Ribono Shalom and his Torah. If anything, you're supposed to, push him into a pit. You're not supposed to help him get out. So they asked the Friedrich Rebbe, why do you go around being Makari with these people? Why are you trying to help them? They're so far off, they're considered Momer Lahachis, you shouldn't try to save them. So the Friedrich Rebbe answered as follows. He says that the halachos of a Mumar, understanding that din of who's a Mumar and who's not, so that comes at the very end, in the second half, of Chelak Choshen Mishpat in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has four halakim, Or Chaim Yerodeh, Evan Ezer, and Choshen Mishpat. So says the Friedrich Rebbe, if you want to understand who a Mumar is, it's at the end of Choshen Mishpat. You first have to finish Or Chaim Yerodeh, Evan Ezer, and half of Choshen Mishpat, then you can tell me who you think a Mumar is. Until then, I'm not such a big Talmud Chacham. I don't know the first three Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to try to be Makariv and help whichever Jew I can. So it's not up to us. It's not our place to judge who's a Mumar, who's such a person that deserves to be killed, talk Lashon Hara about, take ribbis from them. Leave that to someone who knows Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. Fine. So we now have some clarity in the story of Pinchas. We mentioned that Pinchas potentially could have been pasul to the Dochen because he had killed Zimri. We mentioned that the Zohar says he was no longer pasul to Dochen, and we explained three of three ways, the Or Zeruah that said you have to be a regular killer, or the Hagos Maimini that if you kill for a Dvar Mitzvah, you're not pasul to Dochen, and this last idea that Pinchas had the right to kill this Zimri because he was a Mumar, because he was blatantly disregarding Halacha, so he was no longer pasul to Dochen. But now that we understand the story about Pinchas, so let's get into the Halacha L'maisa. Let's try to understand this din of the Gemara and Brachos on Lamed Beis and Beis. In order to do so, we'll go through some halacha l'maisa scenarios and see what we can come out, be malabe in halacha, get a better understanding of the din all around. So let me ask the question. Let's say a Kohen kills, so he's not pasul to Dochen. So okay, he misses Sukkos, but now he does tshuva between Sukkos and Pesach. So he wants to go ahead and Dochen come Pesach time. So is he allowed to? Does tshuva help? Does repenting help? So we know tshuva helps in general. Tshuva gives you a kapara, it gives you atonement, it makes it even as if you didn't sin at all. But can it get you back to the duchen? Can it take away this psul, being invalid to go and do berachas kohanim? So the Rav Yah, it's quoted in the Or Zeruah and Chelak Aleph Simin Kuf Yud Beis. The Rav Yah quotes a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin is not in the Babli, it's in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Gittin, I think it's Hey Tess. So the Yerushalmi Gittin says as follows. It says, you might think that a Kohen who kills can no longer duchen, But no, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives you the brachas, so even a kohen who killed can go ahead and dachen. Oh, that sounds like a contradiction. We have a Gemara in Brachos that clearly says that a kohen that killed can no longer dachen. So how do you fit those two together? So says the Rav Yah, fancy answer, he says, the Gemara in the Bavli, in the Gemara in Brachos, so that means a kohen who killed, the next day he can't dachen. But the Gemara Yerushalmi in Gittin is talking about a case where the kohen killed, and now he does tshuva. So such a person, is he allowed dachen? Says the Yerushalmi, yeah, he is allowed dachen, because he's done tshuva, he's repented for his sin. This fancy answer, this stira, to the stira, is quoted in the Ramah, in Or HaChaim, in Kuf Chav Ches, Simen Lamed Hey. The Ramah says, in fact, did I put it on the page? Yeah, okay, source number 4. Ramah says, V'yeshom adim asa tshuva no se kapav. If he went ahead and did tshuva, so he'd be allowed to do nesias kapayim. Now, anyone who just looked at source number 4 probably noticed that the Shulchan Aruch does not say that way. And that's because the Rambam, in the same halach that we quoted before, so he says emphatically that a kohen who kills, even if he did tshuva, he still cannot dochen. He still has blood on his hands. He is not allowed to go ahead and do berchas kohanim. And says the Rambam, even if he killed b'shogeg, even if he killed accidentally, he'd still be pasul, invalid, to go ahead and dochen at the next yontif. So what's behind this machlokas? Why would you say that tshuva does help? Why would you say that tshuva doesn't help? How do we explain this? So I think the answer starts in a Tosfos. Tosfos Yevamos on Zayin Amud Aleph, we quoted earlier. It's the last source on the page over here. So Tosfos asks the following question. Tosfos say, we know that the Kohen is pasul l'duchin, but it's not true that he's pasul to the avoda. Like we started, Tosfos think that he's only not allowed to go ahead and do Birchas Kohanim, but he is allowed to do the other avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, even if he killed. Okay, so says Tosfos, what's the reason for that difference? How come he's allowed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not allowed to raise his hands and bless the Jewish people? So say Tosfos, two answers. The first answer is, in Achanami, you're right. Me'ikar adin, really, the strict letter of the law should have been that he'd be allowed to do Nisias Kapayim, he'd be allowed to go ahead and bench the Jewish people, Berchas Kohanim. But there was a Chumra Midar Abanan. The Chachamim added on that, okay, a Kohen, he's allowed to do the Duchening, but we're going to be a little Machmir on him, we're going to say you can't go ahead and Duchen since you took a life. So according to this answer in Tosfos, this first answer, it's only a Din Der Abanan. Not only that, it's only a Chumra Der Abanan. So who cares? Who cares if it's Der Abanan? So we have a rule that if we have a safek on a deraisa, it's lechumra. If we have a safek on a derabanan, it's lekula. Which means that let's say a kohen goes ahead and hits someone and he dies. And he's not sure if he hit him and caused him to die, or maybe it was he hit him and then he got run over by a truck, so that's what killed him. He doesn't know what happened. So it's a safek, he's not sure. So if it's a din deraisa, he has to be machmir, he can no longer duchen, he can no longer stand at the front of the shul and bench the Jewish people. But if it's a din derabanan, it's just a chumra, says Tosfos, so then he'd be allowed to duchen because we say safek derabanan lekula, the safek is lekula, we're a makel on him. That's the first answer in Tosfos. The second answer is much more interesting. The second answer is as follows. Say Tosfos, it's actually a din daraisa. Why is it a din daraisa? Because I have a svara, I have a logic, I have a rationale to tell you why a kohen who kills is not allowed to duchen, is not allowed to do berchas kohan. What's the svara? What's this logic? Say Tosfos, ein keteger nasa seneger. Sounds pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Tosfos say as follows. There's a rule called ein keteger nasa seneger, which means, strictly translated, I guess, the prosecutor cannot become the defense. Meaning, the very hands that were used to kill a certain individual cannot now be used to raise up and bless the Jewish people. These hands are filled with blood. And so, in Kateger, your hands, the prosecutor against you, your sin, your vehicle by which you sin, can no longer stand up and say, oh, we're going to raise our hands and bless the Jewish people with those hands, because the Kateger, the prosecutor, cannot be made into the defense, into the Seneger. To explain that concept, let's give a couple more examples. It shows up in the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Chav Vav and Manal. The Gemara says two things. We'll talk about maybe both of them. So we're all familiar that the Kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur and does the Avoda to get a kapara, to get atonement for the Jewish people. What does he wear? Well, it doesn't matter what he does wear. What doesn't he wear? So we know, we're all familiar, he won't wear gold. He can't wear gold on his clothing, correct. So why can't he wear gold? The Gemara explains, Ein Keteger Nasa Seneger. Gold was used in the terrible sin, the worst sin, the biggest calamity of the Jewish people, the Egel Hazav. And since we used Zahav, we used gold to do that terrible sin, and Hashem remembers that sin to this very day, so it would be weird for the Kohen Gadol to walk into the Beis HaMikdash on the day he wants to do tshuva, on the day he wants to get us all kapara, wearing gold and reminding Hashem, look at the Egel HaZahav, and also give us a kapara. Ein Keteger Nasa Seneger, you're not going to wear the clothing that you sinned with in order to try to get atonement. You have to dress in all white, you have to dress differently. Don't wear gold in the Beis HaMikdash. The din also applies to a shofar. We don't like to make a shofar out of gold. It's aser. Because in Kateger Nasa Seneger, you're not going to use the thing that was used for the Egel Azav in order to reach out to me and cry out to me on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to reach for Kapar, to reach for atonement. Some interesting halachal nice applications of that. In Rav Betzalel Stern has a Sefer Shas Chulos called Betzel Chachma. So in Chelek Vav and Simin Pei, he quotes the following question. We know that our Sefer Torah that are resting in this Aron, so they have an Eitz Chaim. They have poles on either side that are made of wood with which we hold the Sefer Torah, do Hagva, all those nice things. Why are they made of wood? So seemingly they're just made of wood because it's convenient. It would be pretty hard to do a Hagva if they were made of steel. I don't know. But the Betzalel Chachma, Rav Betzalel Stern, was asked this question. Can we make the Eitz Chaim, the poles of the Sefer Torah, out of different material, out of metal or silver? So he quotes a Gemara in Bav Basra. The Gemara in Bav Basra on Daf Yud Dal and Amun Aleph seems to imply pretty clearly that the Torah that lay in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Aron Kodesh that was in the Beis HaMikdash, actually was, the poles were actually made of a metal or a silver. So why don't we? It would be hard to do Hagva. But it's also easier to sew the cloth onto a wood pole than it is to a metal pole. But says Rav Betzalel Stern, it's totally mutter to make an Eitz Chaim, to make a pole of the Sefer Torah out of metal. What about gold? So Tosas on the Daf say you can't make the Sefer Torah's poles out of gold, because that's in Kateger Nasa Seneger. You're not going to use the gold of the Egel Hazav to now, you know, lean from your Sefer Torah, to pick up your Sefer Torah and wave in the face of Hashem, look, we're trying to do mitzvahs and reminding you of our sin of Egel Hazav. So seemingly our Torah is also, we can't make them out of gold for the same reason. Says Rav Betzalel Stern, no, that's not true. The Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, which was standing lefnai v'lefnim next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Sefer Torah, so avoid using gold. Don't put the gold on the Eitz Chaim. But a Sefer Torah in our Beis Knesses, a Sefer Torah in our Beis Medrash, that's totally okay to have made out of gold, and there shouldn't be any issue. Not necessarily recommended, it's inconvenient, but if you wanted to have a special Sefer Torah that had some gold ring around it or whatever, so Rav Betzalel Stern says that would be mutter. There is a minhag that is really kept. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Aruch Chaim, in Siman Tav Reish Yud, it's to sif dal in the Shulchan Aruch. It's also quoted in the Mata Ephraim, in Siman Tav Reish Tes, one Siman before. So they say that there is a minhag that the kittel that a person wears on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, more Yom Kippur, so that shouldn't have gold in it. Meaning the day that we're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, ki'ilu we're lefnai v'lefnim, ki'ilu we're standing in the Beis HaMikdash itself and asking for a kapara, asking Hashem to give us atonement, to grant us to be scot-free from all the sins we did that year. So that day, it doesn't make sense to wear gold on our kittel and remind him of our worst sin in all of our history. In the Chuvos of Betzalel Chachma, 77 Simanu earlier, which makes it Simin. So no one's listening, huh? Okay, the last one was Simin Pei. So this one's Simin Gimel. So in Simin Gimel, in that very Chelek Vav, Rav Betzalel Stern deals with the following question. Can I wear gold glasses or a gold wristwatch to shul on Yom Kippur? Okay. So I can't walk into shul wearing gold on my kittel. Can I wear it on my glasses? So that, he says, don't worry about. You can wear gold glasses. Maybe you shouldn't have gold glasses for other reasons. But go ahead and wear those on Yom Kippur. No problem. No problem whatsoever. Another shaila is discussed in the postgame. We won't deal with it too much now. The Sanzer Rebbe in his Divrei Yitziv in Chelek Eben Ezer Siman Nun Beis. So he asks if you're allowed to use a tabaas, a ring made of gold, under the chuppah. We know the day of the chuppah for the Chasam and Kala is like Yom Kippur. So that's the day where you're trying to grant get atonement. That's why the Chasam and Kala fast. So should you use a gold ring, which reminds Hashem of the Egel Azav, don't worry about that one either. Yeah?
I think the Achronim say explicitly about not having
a tachshitim on the kippur. Tachshitim at all. So you shouldn't be dressed up at all, right?
No, gold and silver specifically.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that's Rabbi Kiva Eger we just quoted. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that on your kittel and on your clothing you shouldn't have gold. He probably means jewelry as well. In the wearing glasses or a wristwatch, where it has nothing to do with decorating yourself, you're just wearing it to see better or to tell the time. So Rav Betzalel Stern thinks that you could be making on that. Maybe he quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger. He thinks Rabbi Kiva Eger would agree. Maybe other people would say that they wouldn't agree. But okay, there are other cases of Ein Kateger Nasa Seneger that we would bear to mention. The Dovev Misharim. This is the Tribuner Rav in his Shalos Chuvos Dovev Misharim in Chelak Dal, the very first Simon. So he's asked the following question. Sometimes on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have minyanim that are so big, they can't fit in a shul anymore. So so a certain minyan wanted to go ahead and take their minyan to a hotel. There's a bigger venue. So he's asked, we want to do that. Seems like it's okay. The problem is that during the year, that hotel is used for parties by Jews and Goyim, whatever. Parties that very inappropriate things take place. Not mitzvahs, only averas. So this room is used for pritzas, is used for isurim all year round. Can we use it now to go ahead and daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, says the Tribune Rav, absolutely not. Ein Kateger Nasas Neger. This room is used for Yisurim all year round, and you're going to stand there and cry to Hashem for forgiveness on that day? No way. Doesn't make any sense. In fact, I mean, whatever, there's other tshuvas written about that as well. We'll leave it at that. In fact, Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe Orach Chaim Beis Yud Zayin, so Rav Moshe says that there were certain Sidurim printed back in that day that were printed by Jews and by Goyim on Shabbos. So it's obviously Aser to print Sidurim on Shabbos for Jews. So can you use the Siddur now that it was printed on Shabbos? So it says Rav Moshe, in Kateger Nasa Sinigur, a Siddur that was printed Bechilul Shabbos, so one of the worst sins we could do, you're going to go ahead and daven from, reach out to Hashem, cry out to Hashem in the Beis HaKnesses with those Siddurs? No way. That's in Kateger Nasa Sinigur. This Siddur that is your prosecutor will not stand as your defense in the shul. Maybe a little al Derech Musar, the last example of in Kateger Nasa Sinigur, the Chai Adam in his Halachos of the Mo'adim in Klal Kuf Mem Gimel, so he goes through the Vidui that we say. Some people say it every day at Tachanun, we say it on, you know, the Yom Noraim time. Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu. So he explains each step. Ashamnu, he explains what it means. Baganu explains what it means. Gazalnu. And he gets to the Barna Dofi. We have spoken with Dofi. So he says, what does that mean? He says, Dofi means, we spoke Lashon Hara, we lied, we were deceitful, we were slanderous, we spoke out against our friends, we used Nivel Peh. Every sin you could imagine that you did with your mouth. And says the Chai Adam in a parenthesis over there, he says, you should know that, like, do tshuva on this sin right before Yom Kippur, because you're going to be using your mouth and your tongue all of Yom Kippur to try to ask for forgiveness from Hashem. In Kateger Nasa Sinigur, if your mouth was used all year round to talk Lashon Hara, to lie, to speak out against your friends, to say Nivel Peh, so that very mouth won't help you at all in Yom Kippur unless you've cleaned it up from its sins. It's like bringing gold into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, bringing your mouth full of dirty sins, so that won't go. So do tshuva on the Barna Dofi, clap a little Al-Khair on that, and then maybe you'll be able to dive into Hashem, reach out, and gain atonement. Anyways, Tosfos' second answer is that a Kohen is not allowed to duchen after he is killed, because Ein Kateger Nasa Sinigur, the very hands that killed a human being, cannot but now be used to bless the Jewish people. So if we say like that, it's a din daraisa, and there's seemingly a lot of nafkaminas. A safek daraisa would be lechumra. A mumar, even if he's someone who sins blatantly, so you still wouldn't be allowed to duchen after you killed him, because even though it was mutter to kill him, but the blood is still on your hands. How could you go ahead and duchen now afterwards? And whether you did it on purpose or whether you did it b'shogeg, so that shouldn't make a difference either, because lamaisa, your hands are full of blood, and even though, you know, you did it by accident, but you can't go ahead and raise those very hands filled with blood to go ahead and bless the Jewish people anymore. This should also happen nafkamina, should also be the difference for tshuva. We asked, if a Kohen does tshuva, is he now allowed to duchen after he has killed? So we mentioned that the Rav Yah, quoted by the Ramah, says that he's allowed to duchen after he does tshuva. And we mentioned the Shulchan Aruch, who is quoting the Rambam, says that he is not allowed to duchen even after he's done tshuva. Why yes, why no? So maybe we can explain as follows. If the reason is a chumra midarabanan, that a person can't duchen after he has killed, so chumra midarabanan, if you do tshuva, okay, we'll let you go. You can go ahead and duchen now. But if the reason you can't duchen after you've killed is because Ein Kateger Nasa Sinigur, those very hands that killed, can no longer duchen, and that's a din d'oraisa, so maybe not so fast. Maybe the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch will say, no, you can't do tshuva. You could do tshuva, but you can't duchen now. That doesn't clean your hands. That maybe gets you off, you know, you're not chayiv anymore, b'dinei shemayim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your hands are totally clean, that you can go ahead and duchen. That's the extent of the halacha that I wanted to discuss tonight. There is a discussion in the postgame. The Shevet Levi has a discussion of Nassim Gestetner in his Lahoros Nassim has discussion. We know the Gemara in Sotan, Daf Yoram Abez, says that someone who embarrasses another person, it's as if he killed him. We know famously that the face turns red when you embarrass someone, and so it's as if the blood is in his face, and so you've killed him. Really, the way it's quoted in the Gemara is not that way. It's that the face turns white when you embarrass them, and it's as if you killed him. So that's an interesting physiological phenomenon that the Gemara is picking up on. The Bartanura comments on that in Pirkei Avos. And he explains that when you embarrass someone, so blood immediately rushes to their face, but then afterwards it slowly seeps out, and he becomes very pale. And it's on that second part, where he becomes very pale, that's where the Gemara says, that's halbanas panim. You're making his panim white, halbanas, milashon lavan. And so for that, it's as if you killed him, and so whatever, the dinim come out of that are very interesting. But these posts can deal with, so what if a Kohen embarrassed his friend? So now it's as if he killed. So is he allowed to duchen anymore? So, whatever, Rabbi Schechter told me that his father thought that was a ridiculous question. The post can pretty much do also. We won't go into it too much now.